Lajudas did not look away from the jury. He stood stone still, shirked the objection, pretended he had not even heard it. The judge and the defense are trying to keep it from you, but we know the truth. The defendant made his plans. He got a knife, and not a kid's knife, not a whittling knife, not a Swiss Army knife, a hunting knife, a knife designed for killing. You will hear about that knife from the defendant's own best friend who saw it in the defendant's hand, who heard the defendant say he meant to use it against Ben Rifkin. You will hear that the defendant thought it all out. He planned the murder. He even described the murder several weeks later in a story that he wrote and even brazenly posted on the internet, a story in which he describes how the murder was conceived, planned in detail, and executed. Now, the defendant may try to explain away this story, which includes a detailed description of Ben Rifkin's murder, including details known only to the actual murderer. He may tell you I was only fantasizing. To which I say, as no doubt you will, what sort of kid fantasizes about a friend's murder? He paced, allowing the question to hang. Here is what we know. When the defendant left his house and set off for Cold Spring Park the morning of April 12, 2007, as he walked off into the woods, he took with him a knife in his pocket and an idea in his head. He was ready. From that point, all that remained was the trigger, the spark that made the defendant snap. So, what was that trigger? What was it that converted a fantasy of murder into the real thing? He paused. It was the central question to be answered, the riddle Lajudas simply had to solve. How does a normal boy with no history of violence suddenly do something so brutal? Motive is an element of every case, not legally, but in the head of each and every juror. That is why motiveless or under-motivated crimes are so hard to prove. Jurors want to understand what happened. They want to know why. They demand a logical answer. Apparently, Lajudas had none. He could only offer theories, guesses, probabilities, murder genes. "We may never know," he admitted, doing his best to shrug off the gaping hole in his case, the very strangeness of the crime, its apparent inexplicability. Did Ben call him a name? Did he call him faggot or pussy as he had in the past? Or geek or loser? Did he push him, threaten him, bully him somehow? Probably. I shook my head. Probably. Whatever it was that set the defendant off, when he met Ben Rifkin in Cold Spring Park that fateful morning, April 12, 2007, around 8:20 a.m., where he knew Ben would be because the two of them had been walking to school through those woods for years, he chose to put his plan into action. He stabbed Ben 3 times. He punched the knife into his chest. He demonstrated with 3 sword fighter thrusts of his right arm. 1, 2, 3. 3 neat, evenly spaced wounds in a line across the chest. Even the pattern of the wounds suggests premeditation, coolness, self-control.